Hey everyone, you're listening to the Say Something Nice podcast.
This is a show about movies, television, and music, and sometimes comics and tech, from a multicultural point of view. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud if you just search Say Something Nice podcast. We're also on Google Play as well. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram under the handle at SSM Podcast.
Subscribe on iTunes or we'll send the bear from the Revenant after you.
Why is it that every time I bring up my favorite movie or song, y'all call my shit corny? You act like I don't have no taste and no flavor. I'm a Luddite or some bullshit like that. What kind of particular shit is that? It's the shit I like. That's what I like. That's my type of shit. You know? Why don't you motherfuckers just say something nice?
Hello, everybody, and welcome. My name is Brandon.
This is John.
This is Ken.
And we have a special guest with us today.
Greetings. I am the Wiz.
All right. And this is the Say Something Nice podcast. We're recording this on May the 7th, 2016.
Mother's Day.
Yeah. And we are here to review the awesomeness that was Captain America Civil War, which we all saw this weekend.
Oh, don't oversell it now.
All right.
Let me stop. It was a great movie, but let's get
back. I was about to say.
It wasn't as good as Batman versus Superman, though, let's be honest.
Oh, my God.
So first up, I want to get everybody's impression of, like, what they thought of the movie. If they thought it was good, bad, or indifferent. I'll start with the guest. So, Wiz, you go first.
The movie was awesome.
That's it?
That's it. The movie was awesome, man. I mean, like, there was nothing, there's nothing I can say that was bad about that movie. It was funny. It was entertaining. The action was on point. The Black Panther was the man, okay? Spider-Man was the she. You know what I mean? Like, it was perfect. To me, it was perfect.
All right. John?
I thought it was really good. Probably the best Marvel movie so far, or the second best. Got to rewatch maybe the original Iron Man. I think it was a lot more cohesive than the other group movies, yes. Which is interesting because I don't think the two Avengers movies have aged that well. At least they're not as good as I initially thought they were the first few times I saw them. So for this to be immediately more cohesive, I think was nice. Maybe Joss Whedon's self-criticisms were more warranted than I thought at the time.
All right, Kendrick.
You know what? I think it was an awesome film, but I have to give off points for Alfred Woodard's wig in this movie. It just disturbed me on untold levels.
Very bad hair styles. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
But otherwise, if it wasn't for that, I have to give it maybe 8.5. I think it was an incredible movie. I want to see it again.
Only 8.5 though?
Only 8.5 for really? Right now.
Are any Marvel movies above that?
I can't give that wig was really bad though.
She didn't move for two minutes, if that.
Okay, so you're docking it.
I am
because of that.
I am. I mean, I was worried because I was hoping that wig didn't transfer over to her when she did Cage's show later this year. So
all right. As for me, I liked it a whole lot. It's probably my second favorite Marvel film behind Winter Soldier. And I only say that because I do have this issue with movies where it's clear there needs to be a sequel. Winter Soldier, even though there needed to be a sequel to that, it was a self-contained story. This one obviously wasn't supposed to be. But I just feel like I could have stayed in the theater 2 more hours just to finish the story. That's how I felt about it. But I guess that's a good thing that, it was so good that, 2.5 whole hours went by and I still wanted more.
I'm just happy you saw it in the theater.
Stop it. Yeah, good Wiz, because I don't remember if I told you or not, Wiz. I didn't see Winter Soldier in the theater. I saw it on home video a year later. I saw it on Blu-ray.
What? What took you so long?
I don't know. Well, that came out in summer 2014, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Work. That's what that was.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember now.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw it like 4 times in the theater, I'm assuming.
Yes.
I went twice. I didn't go 7 times. I only went twice.
It's all good, man.
Yeah. I will say, though, before we get into any sort of spoilers or anything, this was the best superhero fight that's ever been filmed. Two of the best superhero fights ever been filmed.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Yes.
Could you use more armor on some of the characters? Maybe glowing eyes?
No, 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 and no.
Kryptonite spear?
No!
Oh my God, stop it.
Swimming?
Stop that.
Why did you say that name? Why did you say that name?
We've got to help him. Mm. It was horrible.
But you know what? The another thing tying these movies along, Mom Lives Matter. Yeah. Perfect for Mother's Day.
Well, no, I mean, and we're gonna get into it. I think we should just start there. Right. Because I think it is a good through line, the fact that thematically
they are the same movie.
They're the same movie. I mean, even not just from the conflict and the infighting, but the fact that mothers play such a big part.
All right. Okay, so let me throw up the tarp now.
And the other thing is both stories deal with, you know, wanton destruction in the from previous movies.
Yes.
One, yeah. I think, feels it better.
Yeah. Yep.
Obviously.
All right. So here's the announcement now. From this point forward, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be spoilers. If you have not seen this movie, stop this now. We'll put it on pause. Go to the theater. Get your popcorn. Sit in the seat. Come back. And then press play again. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Holy shit. Bucky killed Tony Stark's parents.
Well, we knew that from Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Because it's when they're in the bunker, it's on the screen. With, you know, Olaf. But yeah.
Yeah, so it was
interesting. I didn't love that part. It was okay. I thought it felt a little contrived. I mean, I knew it was coming.
It's like Winter Soldier is like Marvel's version of Superboy punches to like play with continuity. It's like the Winter Soldier operated in the past and can do anything, like be like a background character of anybody's story.
I mean, it makes sense because when they reveal a Winter Soldier, they talk about, you know, the way that Hydra has undermined S.H.I.E.L.D. and I guess the entire world. And, you know, they put that in there that when people didn't cooperate, they were killed, things like that. So I get it, but I mean, it's convenient. It's a movie. It's a minor quibble.
Apparently, that's the way the character is in the comic book, too. Like, I went looking through his Wikipedia background. Wikipedia is good for telling you something about some old comic book characters. But apparently,
as long as they're white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but apparently, like, he's sort of kind of like that in the book where he's, you know, like, killed this person and that person in the past to, like, tie into this story and that story.
Yeah, because he killed, actually, in the comics, he killed one of Wolverine's wives and the unborn child.
An unborn child, yeah.
So I thought that was great. It was, like I said, they give you, like, little wink-wink, nudge-nudge, like, elements of the character in the comics. But, you know, giving you the essence, but, you know, making it work in the film.
Right.
In the context. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, how about that CG with Tony Stark at the beginning where he's talking to his 19-year-old self?
Yo, yeah. That was kind of creepy. I'm not going to lie. Like, it was awesome, but it just looked really creepy, man.
Especially really someone that was acting at that time. So it's like we all are familiar with what young Robert Downey Jr. looks like.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's...
Wait. So that was CGI? That was him playing himself as a kid?
That was CGI, yeah.
Really? CGI. I thought they cast the actor.
No. That's him, dude. And, okay, so I guess all of us aren't familiar with what he looked like, but... yeah, it's crazy.
Wow! I had no idea.
It was done well, though, but it was still... It just was off, man, kind of. When I was looking at it, I was like, oof.
His eyes looked dead. I want to see it again because I was taken out of the first big fight scene of Civil War because it seemed to move really fast to me, like it wasn't set up correctly. Like it was, you know, when you accidentally hit the fast forward button to go to like the where it speeds it up just a little bit at home. That's what it felt like to me. Like the opening fight seemed like it moved too fast.
Like the opposite.
Well, that's just I think it's a theater setup thing, it's filmed this way. So I need to see it again just to be sure, but I was kind of thrown out of the whole like first, you know, 30 minutes of the movie.
Right.
Okay. That was actually one of the things I really liked about this movie. Like, I feel like in a lot of action movies, they make the action go so fast so that you can't tell anything that's happening, so you don't see the scenes of it or the work. But in this case, they want you to see the work that they've put into this and the detail. And I felt like it really shined through, and I enjoyed that. It's like you're not trying to pull a fast one over on the audience by giving me cheap CGI.
Right.
You know, and
Yeah.
Well, I was also a little drunk because I'd gone to dinner before, split a half bottle of Prosecco, and then I had a French 75, which is...
That explains a lot.
Three measures of gin and then a bunch of champagne.
So, did we see the same film?
We did.
You might have seen Barbershop and not known it.
No.
Why is Iron Man cutting hair?
It moved overly fast. Like, I don't think I was drunk. I think it was a projection issue. So, I need to see it at least two times.
Projection issue?
I think so.
Projection issue.
You think they played it in VOC and just fast forward it?
No, it's like you can set it up because it's all digital. Maybe it was set up where it was going a little fast. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I want to see.
Yeah, you wish to see you watch it again. But let's go. Let's actually go sequence by sequence. First, I thought it was interesting that they did like a TV show and had a cold open.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen a cold open to a movie before, like before the opening, before any studio logo or anything. Just movies start. I was like, oh, I wasn't ready.
Didn't they do that with Ant-Man?
Did they do it with Ant-Man?
I think they've done did that with Ant-Man when they because it started Ant-Man started
Guardians. Oh, they did do it with Guardians. You're right. They did it.
Yeah, because you had the logo after he went up into the spaceship.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
They've been doing that a lot.
After he got his probe. Yeah.
Almost like the comic splash page.
Yeah. But they're the only ones doing it though, because you don't ever see anything like that in like any other movies. Like the other studios be like, our logo comes first. that, and then of course, you know, the fight scene in Nigeria. That's what I thought Wiz was like, this movie started in Nigeria. I was like, yo,
I'm gonna tell you for real, I thought I knew that bank, man. For real though, I was looking at the bank in the beginning, I was like, wait a minute, have I been there?
No, you have. It was shot in Atlanta, so you might have been.
Because it looks
well, if familiar. If that's what your guys' city looks like, I'm sorry.
That was a set, John.
That was a set, man.
It was a set built in downtown Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should title that scene Wakandan Lives Matter. I think that is a good way to refer to it.
Yeah, but it was awesome. Falcon trying to get Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow, to kiss his little mechanical bird. I'm like, you should pet him. You should pet him.
I
didn't get that double entendre until you just...
Yeah, until I said it, kiss his bird.
Yeah. I really like these movies. I think he delivers his lines well.
Yeah, he's a really good actor. He just shouldn't talk outside of a movie, that's all. But
a lot of people shouldn't. Side note, when he said, you're going to have to go Mark Furman on my ass.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice.
I had to pull a brand like, sir.
Well, you know, one of the guys who wrote and produced American Horror Story works for Marvel. I think on this movie, too.
Which
Brandon
one?
Shared an article with us before we did the podcast.
Oh, the dude, what's his name? The black dude who's the EP.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So, one review pointed out this might be the first superhero movie ever to have three black leads in it, because you have Anthony Mackie,
all awesome.
Yeah, Don Cheadle, and you have Chadwick Boseman, who we'll get to in a second. But the dude's name is Nate Moore, who's the EP, who's brother, light skin, but still brother.
Yeah, don't call him a Triscuit.
Oh no.
But yeah, so I mean, like, because I mean. He's clearly gonna be working on the Black Panther movie and everything. But no, so in this scene, Scarlet Witch saves Captain America because the dude who they're chasing has a bomb on him, and the dude's talking about
crossbones,
talking about Bucky, and he freezes like Batman and Batman v Superman. He said Martha, and so Scarlet Witch throws the dude, but when she throws him into the building where they had Wakandan peace workers working. So she kills about like 17 or so people.
11.
Which
11.
I didn't understand, though. Real talk, though. Like, why didn't she just throw him directly up?
Right.
She went up and over.
Well, she has trouble controlling her powers. I think that was the main point of it.
One thing I noticed, like, you can tell they really don't respect Cap's villain rogues gallery at all. You know, it's like every movie they always like do like a quick glimpse of them. Like in the Winter Soldier, it was Batroc the Leaper was the opening guy that he had to fight.
Oh yeah, the guy that Pierre played, the UFC fighter. Yeah,
yeah. This time it was Crossbones. It's just kind of like, well, I guess it's Cap, so we'll put this lame guy out for him to fight.
Well, no, Crossbones isn't lame. I mean, they set him up.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, they brought him
back. I mean, he's not lame, but you know, but I'm saying they don't. It's just like in these movies, they're not interested in really using these characters.
They have one main villain and one who just appears briefly.
Well, no, I mean it's not like the Jimmy Olsen throwaway scene in Batman versus Superman where they just arbitrarily murdered him.
Which brings up another interesting
parallel
between the films. Both of them start in Africa and talk about major occurrences that happened in these countries.
That's very true. That get the U.S. government involved, and so Thunderbolt Ross. I love Thunderbolt Ross because, you know, I grew up. I had a copy of Hulk number one in my collection, and so I've always had this Thunderbolt Ross is my dude. So he shows me, basically tells him that, you know, the UN is gonna make them sign this what do they call it, the Sokovia
Accords.
Yeah, like which basically means that the Avengers will be working for the UN and only operate when they say so.
Well, they're not really working for them. They're being just you have oversight by them.
That wasn't Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah, it was.
That was Everett K. Ross. That's a different character in the Marvel universe.
It's a different character. Wasn't his name Thaddeus?
Are you sure? Because William Hurt played Thunderbolt Ross in the Incredible Hulk movie.
Mm-mm, this was Everett K. Ross. I think they said. Let's check.
It's the same character from the Incredible
Google.
Hulk. To the Google machine. Captain America, Civil War, Wikipedia. Which is always accurate for nerd shit. Not accurate for anything that has to do with any sort of cultural relevance to black people, brown people. And William Hurt is playing Thunderbolt Ross.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean,
I only know it's the same guy because I read reviews because I didn't know who he was because I still refuse to watch the Incredible Hulk movie.
Jesus.
What? It's terrible. Tell me it's not terrible.
You could watch
the Incredible
once.
Hulk?
Is it terrible?
It wasn't bad, man. It's not
terrible.
Wait a minute.
You said Martin Freeman?
Okay. Martin Freeman's in it, yeah.
You know what? It says, Wikipedia says both. Because I'm looking under Everett K. Ross, and it says Martin Freeman plays Everett Ross in the film. Wikipedia doesn't know who it wants to say.
And it was edited by us, so, you know. Me.
IMDb.
Can you add Damon Brown?
No, I'm adding right now.
Hey, Wiz, did you see Sucker Punch?
Stop it!
So what are you
talking about that tonight?
Yes, I did see that tragedy.
We ain't talking about that tonight.
I mean, people just want to hate.
Not people.
Sucker Punch was a vanity film.
That shit was terrible.
It's horrible.
What's going on, Damon?
Shit, man, I'm here.
It's John and Kendrick and my friend Wisdom.
What up?
Wisdom, that's a great name, family.
Thank you very much.
And hey, Damon, we all gave our thoughts on what we thought about the movie.
Yeah.
That might be a good part if you want to jump in and share.
Yeah.
Cool. Check it out. So here's the biggest thing. The way that Marvel went about paring down the conflict of a story that spanned the entire comic book universe of Marvel into literally 12 characters. And making it into a cohesive story that surrounded roughly three of them was pretty much genius. The shit worked on a level that really only Marvel's operating at this point. And they understand their characters in a way that I don't know if anybody in the business does. They found their that incredible mixture of fantastic set pieces of action with comedy and heart and, you know, simple plot that makes sense and resonates. So when every character action happens, you like, yeah, I can see that happening. Mm-hmm. So I say all that shit to say, I really like the fucking film.
All right. Awesome. Where does it rank among the Marvel films to you?
I mean, strictly because of fucking Spider-Man and Black Panther, it has to be number one, dude.
Number One.
What did you think of Alfre Woodard's wig?
Well, number one, I thought that shit was contrived as fuck. I was mad, but then I was like, well, it's Alfre, so she got to get them checks. So I'm here for it. Like, don't sit here and give me some bloated black children in Africa picture so he can feel all weepy and angry about that shit. Come on, man. You can do better than that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess they were trying to play off what happened in the comics where the, don't you remember, where the mother shows that picture of her child who was killed in a Sandy Hook-like incident.
Stanford, because, yeah.
Stanford, you're right, sorry.
Yeah, it's Stanford.
With the new Warriors.
Yeah, right. So did y'all already talk about that show?
No, we're actually right there at the, in that part of the plot.
All right, so check it out. In the comic book, how this whole shit jumps off, because some fake half-brand new fucking like superheroes who have a goddamn reality show try to take down some real-ass villains, completely underestimate the villains, corner a villain next to a goddamn school, and not realizing that dude's power is to turn into a fucking nuclear bomb and blows the whole goddamn town up.
Yeah.
Taking with it a whole bunch of kids. So now all of a sudden they're like, okay, we need to rein in these superheroes. So that whole scene with Tony Stark was basically off of like three panels in a comic book after one of the parents of the Stanford kids shows up like, hey, y'all out here running all willy-nilly in the streets, but our children are dying.
Right. And in the film, it comes where Tony starts giving like a seminar at or MIT, just a presentation at MIT, and he's giving everybody money, all the kids money to fund their projects. And Alfre Woodard, with her wig, catches him backstage.
I don't think they really earned it. I mean,
no.
You're not really convinced of any of the destruction in Age of Ultron. I mean, I didn't really care. They never really show it on a personal level. They don't. Not that I really want to follow around a kid for half the movie to see a building fall on him.
But it's an East European town. American folks have been, you know, basically convinced that all of those towns are full of shit anyway.
Yeah,
they should have done something stateside. I mean, come on.
Well, they tried to bring up the Battle of New York and all these other things. But it's like at the same time, they realize like this destruction happened, but the Avengers were there to save people, more people from dying.
Yeah.
Like they kind of, it's like they conveniently forget that as they explain things. And I really hated like how they tried to use Vision. Like he's like, he was like the smart, dumb nigga of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Big company.
Yeah.
Sorry,
you know, Wiz. No, he was like, you know, ever since, you know, Iron Man appeared 10 years ago, these numbers of threats have increased only more and more. So maybe just the mere appearance of these superpowered beings creates more violence, which to me seems like very meta for the writers trying to come up with like a bigger enough villain to fight their superheroes.
It's like, and thanks, it's like fucking surprise. Wikipedia. Fuck out of here.
That does sound mad ashy, I will admit.
Contrived. Oh no, that's definitely no lanolin, cause like that's just
contrived bullshit. That's what it's saying.
Right. Well, it basically comes down to Captain America doesn't want to sign the Slovakian accords.
Wow.
What?
All white people look alike.
Especially European ones.
What happened? What I do?
So, the East Europeans? Yeah.
I said
I think you
Sokovia.
Sokovia.
Okay. I'm keeping that tank.
Watch over.
Wachovia Accords.
Wachovia Accords.
The interesting thing about it is Cap's wrong. I mean.
Or is he?
I think he is. Granted. Well, I mean, they're basically, so they should be able to operate autonomously. I mean, there should be some consequences. However.
Why?
You see.
For what reason?
That's because
they
people
do
are
shit
dying.
That nobody else can do.
Right, and a lot of people die because of it.
No, yeah, they didn't die because of it. They died in the midst of trying to stop more people from dying.
So, just hear me out on this shit. Let's say Iron Man's not in fucking New York City. The entire world goes away. You gonna trade 100,000 people who died for the entire fucking world?
Good point.
Yeah,
I mean, these are extinction level event threats.
Yeah.
Extinction level event. Sing a song of salvation.
Every single.
So you're saying there should be no kind. So there should be no kind of oversight. That's the thing.
You're talking about trading life of an entire planet for 100,000 people. I think everyone's gonna make that fucking trade.
I mean, look at Tony Stark in the Age of Ultron movie. He acted impulsively. He created Ultron. He created all these problems, and now
without him, we are not alive.
Yeah, I mean, and then look at Robert Redford.
And with him, he might end up killing you, though, too. You know what I mean?
True, but he's here to save us.
Look at Robert Redford's character in the past Captain America movie. You know, Winter Soldier. He was command. He was in charge. He was over everything. He would be the person implementing the checks and balances. And look what that motherfucker was up to.
Yep.
That's what Cap's saying. Like, you can't trust these people.
Yeah, but it's
and that's why Cap is kind of like against it. It's like, you know, just because of what he just experienced in the last movie. He can't trust authority.
They created an entire body to oversee all that shit in S.H.I.E.L.D. and come to find out that that whole shit was corrupt. So you're going to tell me now that I got to sign something that is not only S.H.I.E.L.D., it's further reaching than S.H.I.E.L.D.? And what if that's just corrupt?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit of a middle ground. You know what I mean?
Not in Sokovia Accords.
I don't see it. Yeah, I don't.
Not in Sokovia Accords. This is very black and white. There's no gray.
Yeah, not with that.
Either you a contractor or you don't. You're a contractor for us, or you go to the fucking raft. Get the fuck out of here.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. I think there's something that's a little more reasonable than that. You know what I mean? Because you look and see what happens to them where, you know, you have, I'm going out of order, Brandon, but you have most of the Cap's team in prison at the end of the movie.
Literally.
And, you know, that definitely seemed excessive.
Yo, Agent 13, everyone's fucked.
That actually happened in the comics, though.
Yeah,
The people who refused to sign up for the Superhero Registration Act were put in a jail. I think what it was like a jail in another dimension.
Yes, the negative zone. Yeah,
negative Richards. Zone.
Yeah. Reed Richards built a whole fucking facility in another goddamn dimension for people who didn't sign the Superhero Registration Act.
It would be Reed Richards.
I guess that's the answer to the Phantom Zone, huh?
Right. All right. And so the UN has, you know, a meeting in Vienna where they're going to sign the accords. And T'Chaka, the king of Wakanda, who the country has just recently started, you know, communicating more with the rest of the world, is there with his son, T'Challa, and every black person in the movie theater went,
Yo, before we go any further, if anybody has seen the James Brown movie, he sounds just like James Brown in that shit.
Even with the Wakandian accent.
He sounds like African James Brown.
Oh my goodness.
He also, I'm with you, he actually sounded like African Jackie Brown to me.
Jackie Robinson.
Jackie
Robinson, you man.
No, I know, it was intentional.
Hate.
Keep up.
As an African man, I think his accent was on point.
Apparently he studied, you know, like five different accents from what part of the continent that Wakanda is supposed to be in to come up with his accent. It wasn't like, just pick an African accent. Mm. You know, he chose one that was supposed to be regionally specific.
East Africa.
Yeah.
Came with East African. And it sounded, I mean, even at times, he sounded Nigerian, too. So, he was really good, man. I give him props for that.
Yeah, Will only Smith problem,
take classes from him.
He should. Will Smith's report. But the only problem I had was, why is he always speaking in African proverbs?
African.
Because he's African and physical. You know what I mean?
But he's really, he's not even African-American. Cuz is African.
But yeah, I don't think nobody speaks his proverbs, though. Like, everything has to relate to the monkey.
Sure, but why does everybody in the Thor movies speak like they're in a Shakespeare novel?
Right,
yeah.
Well, I mean, that's just odd. So
because Kenneth Branagh was directing it, that's why. But, you know, he speaks African proverbs because he saw his first white woman at Vienna.
That's what he sounded like. He was really just trying to pick up the Scarlet Witch. I mean,
Scarlett Johansson was like,
He found out. He found out her ice was colder. What do you want him to do?
Right,
sir.
He was about to upgrade. He was like, "You're bald, but she's white."
Right, and so the place gets attacked, and it looks like the person who did it appears to be Bucky, the Winter Soldier. And T'Chaka is killed. I thought, damn, they ain't give him like 5 minutes in this damn movie.
Well, at least that means we won't have to watch it again in the Black Panther spinoff. So that's great.
Didn't he die a different way though? The King? I thought he died in a fight.
I've read multiple ways in the comics. Like they've changed it more than once. How T'Chaka dies. I was going to say T'Challa, so I had to stop myself.
I thought it was Ulysses S. Claw that killed him.
Yeah, that's in the comics.
Claw is actually the villain in the Black Panther show.
Yeah.
Who they set up in Ultron when they cut off his goddamn hand.
Yeah, I saw him there. So, I mean, like, it would have been nice to see him in this movie, maybe setting up the bomb or whatever. I don't know.
I don't remember him in Ultron. What part was that?
He was the... They were in the boat, trying to get the tanker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
One thing, could you tell that Ryan Coogler had a part in writing that scene?
Did he? I couldn't tell.
They had Ryan Coogler, like a lot of the people who were working on additional Marvel movies, if their characters were in this movie, they had a say in the writing and the direction of their characters.
Cool. That's really awesome. That is really awesome. That way it's seamless. That's smart. That's brains. I'm impressed. Right, I'm impressed.
Brandon, maybe now you'll stop calling him Kevin.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my.
That is not a thing that I have done.
Never. I'm assuming that shit is recorded somewhere so we can go to the videotape.
Never. You listen to all 73 episodes counting this one. It ain't none of them.
Send your tweets to at Be Touched on Twitter.
Send them to go on SSN at Twitter because I ain't say that shit. You did. but yeah. And so.
First they're blaming Bucky. Now you're blaming me.
Yep. Blame the white man.
Bucky with the good hair.
Yep. And so. T'Challa is out to kill the Winter Soldier. It's so great the scene where the Black Widow is like, "Hey, are you okay?" And she's explaining like, "Oh, they're gonna catch him." And he's like, "It doesn't matter. I will catch him and kill him myself." I said,
yeah. And then walked off like a G.
Didn't give a damn.
Nope.
And so, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say so. Everybody's out looking for Bucky. And when they eventually finally find him, you get that really great action sequence where Captain America is chasing him, and then Black Panther is also chasing him, and they're chasing him through the tunnel.
Okay, it was good, but then when you see Black Panther appear on the rooftop and he stops there and he takes out his claws, it just reminded me of the Family Guy scene where they all get powers and Meg's the only thing she gets is claws. Oh, he takes them out, and I'm nail. Like, really? He's taking out his little itty bitty claws? Okay.
But that's vibranium.
It's vibranium.
I know they're vibranium, but I mean, I just saw Meg.
But no, the scene where Bucky eventually almost gets away. Well, no, that's later. No, he doesn't get away because doesn't Cap catch him and then put him in the device? Is this the scene, or am I jumping ahead?
You're jumping a little bit ahead.
Yeah, they chase him down.
Helicopter, right?
How cool was that, like, whole chase scene?
They all got arrested. That's where I'm at. Okay.
Yeah, they all got arrested. Yeah.
Like that, the car chase scene?
Yeah.
Car chase scene was great.
You mean the Audi scene?
Oh, yeah. I know there was another parallel here between this and Batman vs. Superman. Marvel gets an Audi. Batman gets a Jeep Liberty.
Well, so we see who won now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the DC movie insists upon itself.
Yep. They found where Bucky was from Sharon Carter, the niece of Peggy Carter, who actually died in this movie and had the funeral. I was like, John's somewhere like dabbing his eye, I'm sure, because you love Agent Carter, the TV show.
It's a great show, yeah. But
I'm serious.
It's great.
That shit is fun. And Haley Atwell is worth the price of admission.
I'm telling you, I hope they make her the new Doctor Who. But also, they're talking about her replacing Peter Capaldi, possibly.
Oh, wow.
I lost my train of thought. It's gone.
You just think about it.
Agent Carter.
Oh, yeah. Because they have Captain America get with her daughter in the comics, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Niece.
That's right. But you want to go Woody Allen with it.
Lord. You and Woody Allen.
Which is just weird, but...
Okay. It's a little weird.
Is it? Why? Yeah.
Well, but in the Ultimate Universe, I like the way they had Bucky who ends up getting with her.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, in the Ultimate comics, Bucky ends up marrying her, and they grow old together.
Wow. That's not bad.
Right.
I could take that.
Does Bucky age slower? I know he was in and out of cryostasis, but is there anything with his aging?
No, they just basically he was just frozen until they need him for a mission. That's yeah. Right, younger.
Yeah, and then they freeze him again, so he hasn't aged much at all.
Okay.
But yeah, so speaking of that, Colonel Zemo, who I didn't know is a long-term Captain America villain.
Yeah.
He's
Baron Zemo.
That Baron Zemo I've heard of, yeah.
He is on a mission to try to figure out how to control Bucky for, you know, ulterior motives that are revealed later. So he goes to find the Russian dude who has, like, you know, like the codes or whatever for, like, that activate his brainwashing.
They've been doing the whole, like, titles on top, specific element. Whatever.
Did you see it in 3D? You see it in 3D?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the titles are different parts of the 3D spectrum.
Yeah.
Depending upon who's speaking. That threw me off a little bit because I was like, why is that title behind him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Whenever I see a movie first time, I always see it in 2D. If I go again, I'll sometimes see it in 3D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it throws me off.
This one I had to go see it in 3D first.
Yeah.
But only movie I liked in 3D was Ant-Man. I cannot stand that 3D stuff. Sometimes
Ant-Man was a good film, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Ant-Man was a good film.
Yeah. I had to find a list, and I love the internet. The internet is forever, y'all. I had to find a list of words. I knew it was here somewhere. I got it. But this is the English translation. Longing. Rusted. Yeah. Furnace. Daybreak. 17. Benign. 9. Homecoming. 1. Freight car.
You know, like, what the hell did that mean, though? Like,
that's the thing. It's not supposed to mean anything. That way people can't easily remember it.
And it's not supposed to be something you can trigger accidentally, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Well, Bustle.com has a whole article of trying to analyze what each word means.
Great.
It's like an episode of Lost. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But yeah, so...
I guess. When he went to that guy's house and it said Cleveland... It was almost like, really?
Dude, what's a better place to hide? Yeah, I got a huge audience reaction since that's where I'm at. Yeah. It was also a nice nod since that's where they filmed Winter Soldier.
Yeah. He's like, oh my gosh, guy, I jumped the curb, hit your car.
Yeah.
Yeah, why would you open the door? I wouldn't open the door if I'm hiding.
Especially if you knew that somebody was coming to kill you.
Like, fuck the car, away.
He didn't know. I mean, he's just an old guy who's been hiding out for 30 years.
No. Did you see the way he walked to the door? He knew somebody was trying to kill him.
Yeah, the dude was paranoid. He should have kept the gun in his hand.
Right. You could almost say it was his spidey sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. War criminals are just a cowardly lot. So.
Wow. Right. Wow. And so this dude ends up killing the psychiatrist they're supposed to bring into question Bucky. And so he uses the code words to activate Bucky's programming and
I enjoyed the benign manner in which he was murdered. That was great. I'm going to kill you in a laundry sink.
Yeah.
Like, we're taking this back to the George W. Bush years.
Oh.
Waterboarding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about it. Is that what waterboarding looks like? Is that like...
No, it's different. Okay. But, you know, it's definitely an enhanced interrogation technique.
I love how the white dude knew exactly what that shit was.
I'm here for you.
He was like, no, that's not what it looks like.
But yeah, and so you got the great scene where Bucky goes in and Cap has to try to catch him and he gets in the helicopter and freaking Captain America grabs that damn helicopter.
Boy.
And brings that shit back down.
Bucky takes it in.
Captain America's like, look at these guns.
Yeah, he's like, look at my gun.
He's been working out.
I'm like really struggling. I'm over here staring.
I mean, Bucky goes all like Raiders of the Lost Ark on him and, you know, takes the helicopter into him. But yeah, but we're skipping ahead a little bit because you have the whole fight scene with, you know, Iron Man and Peggy Carter's niche, yeah, where she gets like suplexed into a table.
Yeah. Oh,
that was in the cafeteria.
Pretty good, though.
Oh, yeah. And you noticed the first thing where the vibranium was reacting with Bucky's arm?
Yeah.
They didn't quite explain that, so.
It was vibrating or something, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot what it was doing.
It was like vibrating. They both look at each other like, what's going on?
Yeah, 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 because Black Panther showed up to fight Bucky in the scene first.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
What is his arm made out of?
I don't know. A good ass question.
It's a really good question. I don't know. Like
adamantium, but
no, I don't think it's adamantium. Isn't it just me? Did his arm seem weaker in this movie than it did in Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
It's like, you know what? We made you a little bit too powerful last time.
Let's dial it down.
Yeah.
Let's see what I'm Googling to see what it's made out of.
Okay, cool.
Winter Soldier's prosthetic arm, Marvel Comics Universe. There's a whole article about it. That's awesome.
Wow. All right. So when Captain America catches him, they take him. This is where he puts him in the vice, and him and Falcon interrogate him. And they find out that Bucky tells him the dude was Captain Zemo. He thinks that he's going to the Siberian Hydra facility to activate the five other Winter Soldiers that have been sitting in like cryostasis for a long time to get.
Which would have been scary had they all gotten out.
Yeah, because they show that scene of them being trained and they all turn against the people training them.
They were like rabid dogs.
Yo, I love how Money was like, yeah, get me out of here.
Right? I'm hiding behind you. You're going to be like, gonna be by
all of these right bandits away. I don't want
anything. Hold on to him tight, yo. He was like, yo, man.
Yeah.
I was sick. Get me out of here.
And so this is where Captain America and Falcon decide they're going to go with Bucky and try to stop this guy. And so knowing that, you know, since they didn't sign the Accords, they're, you know, essentially breaking the law and they've already been arrested anyways. They get Sharon Carter to get their stuff out of jail, the office, bird costume. That shit was funny. Anthony Mackie, bird costume.
The best
was comedy relief the whole movie, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
The best guess for people on Winter Soldier's arm is it's a mix of titanium and steel.
Okay.
Alloys.
Yeah.
There's no chemical information.
Not
so really. There's not like anyone's going to be able to definitively say, oh, it's vibranium or it's adamantium.
People are just kind of speculating from when it might have been made and so forth.
They can't, because of the look of it, so they're not really sure.
They can't even say adamantium, can they? If they wanted to.
No, I don't think they can.
No, that's in the miracle bin.
Because I think if Cap Shield, I can't remember, if Cap Shield, was it always made out of vibranium? Yeah. Or was it ever adamantium? Okay.
No, it was vibranium.
Okay.
But yeah, and so where are we in the story? Oh, yeah, this is where, I guess we're almost at the fight, because basically they're going to go rogue, and so Iron Man's trying to figure out who he can recruit to stop them. So they're recruiting people. So Captain America and Falcon, they get Hawkeye out of retirement. He gets off the farm.
Yeah, they got the short end of the stick.
Yeah, so, I was about to say, like, this is the losing team.
To be fair, Hawkeye, I liked him more in this than I have in any other movie he's been in. Yeah. I think because there's so little of him. and when he is there, he's funny. But yeah.
Also, he recognizes his limitations really quickly.
Yeah,
like he realized he's punching outside of his weight class early,
right? Like he was like, "I'm going to go after Scarlet Witch. We'll just leave the rest of these people." But I was waiting for Scarlet Witch to look at him and be like, "So, do you think I'm a whore now, still?"
Wow!
Jeremy Renner made.
Yo, I don't know your Twitter handle, but send no shits over there.
at B Touch on Twitter.
No, that's not it. That ain't it. All right, go ahead, Kendrick.
I can't even remember. We good.
Okay. And they also get Ant-Man, who shows up, and he's like, Captain America! Oh my gosh!
All right, fantastic.
I actually hated that scene.
Really?
Yeah, the one where he's fanboying, it was just too much and over the top for me. Like, I understand he's standing, but it just came off, I don't know, it didn't come off right.
So you saw Ant-Man, right?
Yeah.
So recognize that this is not a superhero. This is a fucking thief who just got promoted to big league superhero-dom.
He's like, I love you.
He's roughly us.
He
just got a suit, and now he's hanging out with Captain America.
I mean, if I was there at Captain America, that's how I would have touched him, too.
Exactly.
A little longer.
That's not my problem. That's not my problem. I think the reaction was fine. I just didn't like the scene in general. Or something about it just seemed really off. I think his reaction was, you know, plausible and everything. It just... It just became, it insisted upon itself.
Oh, Lord. Y'all gonna keep using that. meanwhile, Tony Stark's trying to recruit people. He's all like, he has, well...
Oh, wait. You know, at that point, I think we skipped something.
Yeah, we did, because we skipped Scarlet Witch wanting to go to the store and Vision saying no, and her realizing she's been trapped in there. And so Hawkeye actually shows up at the Avengers compound to fight Vision, and Scarlet Witch...
Although I did enjoy what they did in this movie with Vision and Scarlet Witch. I thought that was a nice combination.
You mean leading into the relationship that they end up having?
Yeah.
Oh, do they have a relationship?
Yeah, man. They become a thing.
I thought it was nice.
Does he have like a cybernetic robot dick? Like, how does
that? Yeah, I mean, I think it's comparable to Data in First Contact.
They have kids, but it's through the workings of a demon named Mephisto.
Mephisto.
Mm-hmm. Brand of shoes, by the way.
Yeah, he... or was it the master of... No, I think it was Mephisto, yeah.
Yeah. Are you sure... what are we skipping? Because I was about to talk about Spider-Man now.
No, is the one thing I wanted to bring out was another parallel between Batman, Superman, and this movie is... That at that scene, they talk about Tony Stark vacating the airport so that there are no civilians there.
Yep.
When they have the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hartsfield-Jackson got tore up.
Pretty much. I saw my old apartment in that scene.
Yeah, there hasn't been that much destruction rained down upon Atlanta since Sherman burned down.
Or last year's ice storm.
Well, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wisdom remembers that ice storm.
Lord.
He just got home.
If y'all don't buy some goddamn salt, I swear to God.
They don't have it in their budget, cuz.
They don't.
There's no salt in the budget. That's the problem.
Yeah. And even still, like, it'll just be Atlanta. Like, Metro's what the problem was. Like, Kasim Reed could just salt everything up to the city limit and it'd still be a problem because 285 still wouldn't have no salt on it. Mm-hmm. That's where everybody was getting trapped at.
We'll go up to the governor then.
Well, you see, well.
that's what happens when you get a states' rights, I guess. We have a states' right not to have salt.
Pretty much. All right. And so Tony Stark, you know, to recruit people for his side, goes to Queens to visit and, exceptionally attractive Aunt May.
Damn,
okay, was
anyone...
Damn. You're strangely hot aunt.
Yeah, he kept saying that. The reviewer for Uncle Ben then?
That's what I want to know.
What happened?
How old was Uncle Ben then? That's what I want to know.
Well, he dead, so.
He dead.
Oh, like underground. He dead. But I think it's a lot better to have Aunt May be a good deal younger because she's supposed to be the aunt of this, you know, teenage boy. So their sisters should be about the same age. You know, what sort of a thing would have where somebody has a 15-year-old kid and the aunt's 70 years old? Like, how big is this family? Like, it's a lot less plausible.
Yeah, and I think the whole thing with Aunt May was not like his mother's sister, but like his mom's aunt too.
Also, like his great aunt.
That's the way I always kind of, I guess, reconciled it in my head.
Yeah,
because it really didn't make sense.
Yeah, maybe Whiteman brought the heat.
Yeah, I want to say, I kept thinking about it. This is why they killed you on Empire. You had better things to do.
Pretty much. It's like she, just like white people, she used them to go back up her star. They saw that.
All right, so I think I've made one too many Bryan Singer jokes about Spider-Man because the scene when him and Tony start going to the room and he locks the door, I'm like, oh God. I mean, if I was his exceptionally attractive aunt, would you let this strange man, granted, yes, he's famous, which I think is even more of a red flag, go in your nephew's bedroom and lock the door?
Probably not, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be like, leave that door open.
That's a great point. But no, when he said, move your leg, I'm about to sit on this bed here.
Yeah, that's even worse, Yes, director.
I appreciate that they found a way. Well, really quickly, though, RogerEbert.com reviewer didn't call her Aunt May. He called her Aunt February because she was so young.
That's a good name.
Yeah. But I really appreciated that they squeezed Spider-Man's origin story retelling into this one scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got everything you needed from the scene and the dialogue and his monologue about him wanting to do the right thing. And when you don't do the right thing, bad things happen. You already know what happened. You have to go to
great power.
Yeah. No flashbacks, no Uncle Ben, no wrestling thing. No, dude, like, you know, trying to find a dude to kill Uncle Ben. None of that.
I like that they're just assuming the audience knows it, because, I mean, I don't think there's anybody. Like, there was, like, an 11-year-old as the movie was getting out that was talking about the backstory. It's like, okay, everybody clearly knows this.
And I think also Spider-Man has a movie coming out, so they're probably going to do the rest of that shit then.
No, they're not.
They already said they're not going to.
They're doing, like, they're picking up, and he's been Spider-Man for a minute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we're not doing origin anymore.
Well, yeah. The thing is that got me was they nailed Peter Parker's character
perfectly
so well.
For the first time in 14 years of making Spider-Man movies.
Yeah,
14 years.
And it's not Tobey Maguire, which the guy from the 70s from the TV show, Mr. Hammond.
Oh Lord. I saw that thing on YouTube a couple of, like, the 70s Spider-Man show live action. It's on YouTube. Look it up. Yikes. But yeah, like, this is the Peter Parker I know.
Well, I like that it's more plausible because the big criticism of all the other previous Spider-Man movies was like, how did he make that suit?
Yeah.
I mean,
a kid, yeah, straight up, like a little teenager. How the hell did you make a suit like that? But now you got Tony Stark involved, so.
And then it's another wink, wink, nudge, nudge to the actual Civil War story, where Tony Stark made a special suit for Spider-Man that actually was like an armored suit.
Yeah, the Iron Spider
with the glowing eyes and the
I had tentacles. Helmets.
No, yeah. He's making a Batman joke.
No, I'm not.
Do you bleed, Tony?
I'm Cuban being it. So even angrier
when he shot that beam.
Oh Lord, we go get there.
I'm even angrier because I just, like, my friends were over here earlier and they made me show the bootleg of that shit so they can watch and be angry too. So I've actually seen that today.
Oh Lord.
I'm sorry.
I couldn't even watch it on bootleg. Was it a cam?
Yeah. Nah.
It was a rip?
Yeah.
But also talking about another parallel between the way Batman v Superman treated, you know, introducing characters, which an email.
So you look at, like, Black Panther, and he exists in this movie, and he has a story arc, and he comes to terms with things. You have Wonder Woman, and basically her point of being in Batman versus Superman is to get a picture back, to open an email, and then to show up instead of getting on the plane. I mean, for a character who's arguably more anticipated, like, I think more people want to see Wonder Woman than want to see Black Panther.
Racism.
That's exactly. sexist. So, you know, to see how they dealt with, you know, putting the three biggest comic characters of all time together and just blew it.
Versus this. So we are here. So they are at the airport and you have Team Cap and Team Iron Man. They square off. Spider-Man shows up like he does in the trailer to take the shield. He's got a new suit on. He's like, sorry to stick the landing, guys, but, you know, new suit. Just trying to, like, figure it out. And
the one-liners were great.
Spider-Man acted and sounded like Spider-Man. The one-liners, the goofy jokes.
You have a metal arm. Neat.
Yes.
Oh,
I was in my chair like a little kid, like, yes, finally, yes, I got it right.
You have that, you have Anthony Mackie's like, hey, I don't know if you've been in a fight before, but there's usually not this much talking.
That felt like it was directly from a Spider-Man comic book.
Yeah.
I did love his Star Wars reference too.
Yeah, you guys remember that old movie, The Empire Strikes Back?
As soon as you saw Ant-Man got big and they were running around, I'm like, oh my god, he's gonna get him like an AT-AT. And then they had him actually do it and say it. I was
excuse me, what?
Yeah, I know, I butchered it.
Okay,
but it was kind of cool because it was kind of like that.
I was surprised you hear him in the tinfoil though.
That happens in the comics where Spider-Man, like, everybody's looking at Spider-Man being the young guy, like, what idea does he have? But he's actually the brilliant one who comes up with the best solution to their problem.
Yeah.
And Tony Stark recognized that by saying, wait a minute, the kid might be onto something.
Yep. And so the fight is like, this is so funny because Spider-Man's like, they're not stopping. And so they charge each other and actually get into the fight. And it's so actually well choreographed. You have each character squaring off against another, but there's crossovers. There's like, you know, there's trade-offs. Ant-Man turning 18 feet tall.
Scarlet Witch coming over and hitting
Black Widow
with the blast. It's like, you know, fuck this bitch.
That's because, you know, she and Hawkeye were, you know, they friends, they family, so they can't really fight.
Right.
She's like, you're pulling your punches.
Yeah, you're pulling your punches. Because they were like, are we still going to be friends after this? Depends on how hard you hit me.
They almost flirting with each other.
I was just hoping they'd kill Hawkeye off because I'm really getting sick of the Carlito thing with him every time he's on there where it's like one more mission. I'm going to get home. I was in retirement. I was like, shut up. At least it didn't go all overblown like the farm scene from Ultron. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you hate that farm scene.
I mean, there's good things with Joss Whedon not being associated with Marvel anymore, I guess.
Wow.
What did chopping wood and tall trees and grass ever do to you?
If I want
to
watch that, I'll watch the like the Paul Bunyan thing. I mean,
Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek. I don't want to wait for our life to be over.
But yeah, that fight was so awesome, man.
Yeah, man.
Even the conclusion of it, and then unfortunately, when Captain Bucky finally—you
mean when the schism happens?
Yeah, when Captain Bucky finally gets into the plane, and War Machine takes off after him, and Vision accidentally hits War Machine, and the entire theater gasped when that dude hit the ground. It was
I didn't have that reaction of mine. Everyone's like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, no.
I would have been better if they took Don Cheadle out of this film and if they took Hawkeye out of this film. Because
No,
God damn it.
I don't care anymore.
No, I feel like that whole moment, he was the dude that was supposed to get it. But when he hit the ground, everybody expected both of them to catch him.
Yeah.
Everybody in my head was like...
I thought Falcon was going to do it, yeah.
Like, I remember distinctly, I thought Falcon was going to catch him. And the dude behind me goes, oh, he about to catch him. Oh.
I got it. I don't got it.
Yeah. Like, behind me, dude goes, oh.
And they actually had him be paralyzed.
Yeah, he was fucked up.
Which is sort of kind of, I think, in the comics, well, he wasn't paralyzed. He was damn near left for dead in the comics, right? He had to get, like, cybernetic add-ons, sort of kind of like Cyborg.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of other shit that happens.
Okay.
Like, the other death was Goliath. Like, because Tony cloned a piece of Thor. Yeah.
Which one?
So, Iron Man cloned a piece of Thor and brought out an unstable Thor clone. And he killed, Black Goliath and bust a hole through his chest. And Doom just died.
So, basically, it's Doomsday.
Yes. Just cheapened. So, you take that. And somebody had to go out. So... they bust down on our man War Machine.
Damn. But yeah, so like that.
They had too many brothers in the movie.
Mm-hmm, had to take out one.
Like, this isn't Civil War Harlem.
Black Overlook. And we should also mention.
Black Overlook. Hey, let that joke land. Don't move past.
Oh yeah. Like, I was talking about Black Panther's fighting style. Because, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That was like capoeira and kung fu and all. I don't know. It was just awesome. Let's call it the jungle style. Arts. Let's call it jungle kung fu.
Jungle love.
Racist.
I'm African.
That jungle kung fu.
No, I mean, we just gonna call it jungle love. That fighting style is now known as jungle love. We're going to call it Morris Day.
We'll call this episode the Black Panther's Jungle Love.
Yeah, so that Morris Day. Watch out for that Morris Day.
No, let's not.
Black Panther, bring me my mirror.
Look, if he had one of those dudes in all white roll up on him and just put his hands up like he's holding a mirror, hi.
The bald chick, the bald-headed chick, maybe.
Well, we just need to see the cut. The extra scenes with Scarlett Johansson and the bald chick going hand to hand.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When she wrote up, it's like, move.
I mean, the just the hint of the Dora Milaje in this movie, man. That man.
Stan moment, complete Stan moment.
Bad right. Bitch alert.
Yep.
Bad bitch.
Yeah, and so everybody, well, not everybody, ends up in jail. Falcon's in jail, Ant-Man's in jail, Hawkeye's in jail.
That's dope, by the way.
And they're in like a floating jail, like out in the middle of the ocean someplace.
Yep, called the Raft.
Mm-hmm.
And then, was it Sharon Carter who, or was it Natasha that gives Tony Stark the video clip that where they find out about, you know, the psychiatrist being killed and the mask and everything, and find out that, hey, Steve Rogers was right.
Yeah, who was that? That was the blonde girl, right?
Sharon Carter.
Yeah, it was Sharon Carter, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they could have gotten out of the raft if they'd had a prosthetic leg, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching it, I thought, I'm like, why can't they get out of, like, the kiln? Is that how you say it?
But, the kiln. Yeah.
But is that a harder prison to escape from than the raft? I don't know.
They were the only prisoners, so they didn't have anybody to steal supplies from.
Because they inaugurated it, huh?
Yep.
Are these Shawshank references, I'm guessing?
No. Yeah. This is
the prosthetic leg from Guardians of the Galaxy?
Did you okay.
Oh. Okay. I'm okay. Honest.
Right. Where am I? And so... When Tony goes to the Falcon, and Falcon tells Tony where they were going, where Captain America and Bucky were going, and so he's gonna follow. And whoa!
Say what?
No. Did you move or something?
Who?
You Wisdom.
Move where?
Like it was like a big rush of like noise on the microphone. It's all good now. It's done now.
Oh, it rubbed up on my chest. My bad.
Say it with your chest. On my chest.
Say it with your chest.
Hello, Louis. I'm on the microphone. Are you on the microphone, Louis? All right, but yo, so Iron Man goes to Siberia and he's gonna help Bucky and Captain America until Zemo, you know, reveals his master plan that he used Bucky to get access to the Hydra files. And inside the Hydra files, he pulls a file from December the 16th, 1991, which is when the Winter Soldier, Bucky, was deployed to go and kill Tony Stark's parents.
Yeah.
And Tony Stark, after that, is like, fuck everything. I don't care. Because he's even like, Captain America's even like, but he wasn't himself. He was brainwashed. I don't care.
But you know, they foreshadowed that moment a little bit, like building up Tony's character to, you know, to be like that from when War Machine got hit and he fell and he just shot Falcon for no reason.
Yeah.
Falcon's going to...
Like, no reason at all. Falcon didn't do nothing.
Well, Falcon dodged the bullet. It was supposed to hit him.
Yeah.
Rhodey should have been paying attention. What was he supposed to do? Stay in the way?
Well, it's not supposed to be rational. But,
I mean, that's the point, though. I mean, they're showing how irrational he can be, which he's supposed to be the futurist, the rational one, and how he can, you know, get thrown out of whack so easily when emotions come into play.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is the death of his parents, especially, is kind of what sent him into this kind of downward spiral on life. You know, that you find him in at the beginning of the first Iron Man movie, where, you know, he's a terrible person, and you see it in the flashbacks in Iron Man 3, and, you know, he talks about at the beginning of the film how he never really dealt with it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's kind of the exciting incident behind, you know, his entire adulthood. So I think it worked really well.
He's still a terrible person.
He's still a terrible person now. Yeah. But I think that, you know, caused him a lot of trauma that he's never dealt with.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so now this fight between Iron Man and Captain America over Bucky, because Bucky gets taken out pretty quickly because Iron Man takes that arm off.
Yeah. He kind of went out like a bitch after being in the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Like, and so is this epic fight. And like, this fight is as good to me as the big superhero fight, just because it's more earned than the Batman Superman fight was.
I mean, everything's more earned in this movie than
the Batman. And you really feel like it's two people who used to be close who were like, you know, come to blows for real. Like, you really felt the whole thing. I thought Cap was going to kill Iron Man.
There were gasps in the theater when he took the shield and...
Yeah, it busted it. Because the little what do you call it? The circle thing. Isn't that like the magnet the that reactor. Keeps... Yeah, that keeps, like, the shards in his body from...
No, they took...
After that, number three, yeah, he got the surgery, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
All right. It's not in there anymore, yeah.
Yeah, I need to see parts. I need to see Iron Man 3.
No, didn't they take care of that in Iron Man 2, actually? And they removed it from his body in part 3. So, because...
Yeah,
part 2 is where it was killing him, and then 3, they remove it. Yeah.
So this should be going towards the extremist suits, where it starts coming through his skin.
Yeah.
Pretty soon.
Which they totally fit it away in Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like...
An interesting thing is, like, Robert Downey Jr. says he has, like, maybe one more movie in him. Granted, that may be a money thing, but... Because there was a period where Robert Downey Jr. might not even have appeared in this movie, but they were able to get him locked down contractually.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I know Chris Evans has two more movies to do, both the Avengers movies, and that's all he has left. Though he says he's willing to do more. But, like, this is the last Captain America movie, more or less.
How many did he have? Did he have 7? I thought he only had 5. Did they add a few on?
His original 7, I believe.
His original was 7. Okay. Yeah, I remember. Okay. He didn't want to do 7. He wanted to do 5, and they made him do 7.
Yeah, but then he came back like, look, I'll do as many as they have me for.
Pretty much. Might as well. Yeah, I thought they might kill Captain America in this. I thought maybe... I
thought somebody was going to die, and I was surprised that nobody actually did.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Cap.
I guess they didn't want to deal with the whole Cap is lost in time plot from the comics. So,
But yeah, well, Captain America may not have died, but I think he gave up the whole Captain America thing, because after he defeats Tony, which, how you going to be? This is like the opposite of Batman v Superman, because Tony Stark got all that technology and still lost to Captain America. He's like, you don't deserve that shield. My father made that shield. Okay, here.
Yeah.
Walks out.
Well, I mean, Cap is, a fighter. Tony Stark really isn't. I mean, he's just a good tech guy with nice gadgets. And I mean, he's not saying he's not competent, but like Cap's trained.
But
and
hey,
he's stronger.
He's cool with the Wakandans, so they might make him another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yes. So, like, somebody pointed out this movie is sort of kind of like The Empire Strikes Back of the Marvel films, because it ends on a downer. Which I didn't feel like it did, because at the very end, Captain America goes to the raft, and he goes to break everybody out, because the Avengers are clearly divided right now, but
it's not definitely quite a lower down. Note. It's definitely a tense note, which is nice, and that's kind of the thing.
Yeah,
I was wondering what they were gonna do. It's nice after the Avengers, because they build up this really powerful team, and now they're breaking them apart. You see it in Age of Ultron, you see it here, you see it in Winter Soldier, that they're fracturing them, and, they took down S.H.I.E.L.D., so they're not this,
I did appreciate that in true Captain America form, he wrote Tony Stark an apology letter.
You mean Tony Stank.
Yeah, that's him, Tony Stank, that's him. That was a great cameo by Stan Lee. Yeah. Now, Tony was supposed to report to Thunderbolt Ross he called about the breach. So him hanging up on him does that mean that he is letting Captain America free the others?
No, it's a reference to when he said, call me anytime, I'd love to put you on hold.
Right, but when he said that, he was basically saying that because he was like, I'm not going to listen to you, more or less, right?
Yeah, I mean, the other thing was he recognized at one point that even though he was on the right side of the law, that Thunderbolt Ross was not necessarily the right man to be taking orders from.
Right.
So,
and I think he was shocked that, they got interred so quickly.
Well, also that he put him in a fucking raft.
Yeah.
These are the superheroes. You can't put the superheroes in a raft. So when he went down there and saw him in the raft, he was like, oh, nah, fuck that. They free. They free.
Right. And so then the movie ends, then you get the first credit scene where you have Wakanda, finally. On screen. Yes.
And it looked beautiful.
And you have them putting Bucky.
I thought they just used footage from Jurassic Park, the last one.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Stop it.
I wanted to go to there.
Liz Lemon, love it.
Yeah, you have them putting Bucky under back into cryogenesis, because he's like, I don't know what's going on with my programming, so it's best for me to go under. And I was Captain America's like, thanks for keeping him here, but you know, they'll come for you. And T'Challa's like, let them try.
I'm waiting. I would love to see that. I really would love to see that too. Like,
I'm waiting for the kill to crossover.
And then the final cross credit scene, which got a lot of cheers in my audience, because like it's Peter Parker back at home talking about, because he has a like a black eye. Mm-hmm. And he's telling the Aunt May he got beat up at school by a really big guy.
That was awesome.
You know what's funny? I left the theater before that.
Listen.
This was the second part of a double feature. It was 3 a.m. My wife had a search warrant at 5 a.m. So I had the kids by myself. Every minute of sleep extra that I could get, I had to get. I went to go see Green Room first, went straight from Green Room to Captain America at the 12 o'clock show. It didn't start till 12:20. It's fucking 3 o'clock in the morning. So I saw the first one. I was like, I know there's another one. I'm not staying for it.
Right. Yeah. It was basically just, you know, Marissa Tomei and Tom Holland, and just, you know, a cute little scene. And then Peter Parker finds out that Tony Stark's implanted a projector into his web shooters that lets him shoot out a Spider-Man logo on his under the roof of his the ceiling of his apartment.
Well, was it just that? Because you had like all these logos around the edge. I thought maybe it was just sort of interface something extra in there too.
Yeah, I thought it was hinting towards the Iron Spider suit. It was like an interface for that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But that movie was really awesome. It was very entertaining. It was. I 2.5 hours have never gone by so fast.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I mean, not
say that.
Not since Avatar.
No, I mean, I thought it was always enjoyable, but I knew it was that was a long ass movie.
Got thrown out of it at the beginning with Alfred Woodard's wig, so
I did. This is true, I have a question. Do you guys think it succeeded in just being a cab movie, or did it feel like it was still Avengers 2.5 at times?
It felt like it was a cab movie to me.
Really? It felt like both to me.
Solely
a cab movie.
Because it was an Avengers movie, Captain America would not have got that much screen time.
It's a Cap Bucky story that anchors the movie, like, correct, you know,
in every way, shape, or form.
I feel like it was both.
Yeah, I would say uh-huh. both, but primarily Cap.
When you see it again, when you watch it again, you're like, wow, this shit really was.
We watched the Avengers movies. They're a lot messier and more muddled.
Right.
This is very
tightly focused on Cap and Bucky's relationship. And that's the driving motivator for literally everything.
That's a good ass friend. You gonna fight the whole entire world to make sure your friend stays free,
even when you know your friend did it.
Yeah.
Well, you had all. It ain't like he was innocent. He did the shit.
Well, you had all the one liners. Like, it was like he was talking to Falcon and was like, "Hey, do you think you'd do it for me? Maybe in 1945." You have the scene with, you know, Anthony Mackie and Bucky on the floor in the airport. It's like, man, couldn't you have done that earlier?
Yeah.
Oh, the scene with their Volkswagen in the back, and he's like, "Can't you move your seat up?" No.
And the scene where they both nod and they look at Cap after he kisses, Parker 2.0.
Yeah, that was the biggest laugh in the theater of the whole evening.
I love their like frenemyship.
Yeah, because it's like, I'm the old friend, you the new friend. We gonna figure out who's his real best friend.
I need a buddy comedy spinoff.
The only buddy comedy I want to see is the Ant-Man and Spider-Man joint.
That would be funny as hell.
I mean, more Thomas the Train footage.
And I tell you, I love that they didn't spoil the part where Ant-Man was hidden on Cap's shield.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, okay, that was another, you know, because I'm like, they could have very easily given that away, you know, before when they introduced Spider-Man and that, you know.
In
the trailer. But
that's why I didn't watch anything else but half that trailer. Once I saw Spider-Man in that trailer, I was like, okay. Once they get to the release, they're gonna put all these clips and shit out. I went black. I went cold. Just nothing.
You went black. But I didn't see any of them either. I'd occasionally see a clip of it on TV before I didn't look down fast enough, where I saw, you know, Spider-Man with Captain America shield, and that was it. So that was great.
Yep. All right. Do we anything? Any problems that anybody had? Like big problems. The only big problem I have is I wanted more movie, and I did feel like Zemo and Lex Luthor are almost the same. Like between the two movies, Zemo has the same motivation as Lex Luthor. I guess he was just more successful and a lot more clearer about that motivation than.
Well,
Lex
he's
Luthor
not
was.
Wacky. He's just right. driven.
Yeah,
like he's driven by revenge and like loss. Lex yeah. is like this weird, goofy fucking kid. Meth kid. Like no speed. Like no. Get the
fuck
out.
Yeah,
but Zemo, you can almost understand it.
Like, yeah.
I thought that was more genuine than him being upset about the loss of his family than Alfred Woodard yelling at Tony Stark in the hallway.
Y'all go let this woman live.
Oh, I thought she was great. You know,
nope, he's not going to let that wig live.
Tony Stark got in the hunter's whale, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything else. I saw it in 3D. The 3D helps, like, mostly in the quiet scenes. The action scenes, the 3D didn't help much at all. It was weird.
Well, you put them over your glasses, though, right?
Yeah,
duh. I hate doing that.
Like, the 3D, like, the biggest 3D moment for me was when Captain America is at Peggy Carter's funeral in the cathedral. And, like, when Sharon walks up to him after the service. That was like the biggest, oh, this is in 3D moment for me in the whole movie. A movie full of action. So yeah. Take that for what you will.
You know what got me the best like 3D of the whole experience? The trailer for Doctor Strange.
Let's talk about how Disney is winning. They had two attached trailers to this. Doctor Strange and Star Wars Rogue One. I said, they are making all of the damn money this year. It's not even fair.
Okay, so I saw the Rogue One trailer at home, and I'm like, this is good. I want to see this. I enjoy this. But, dude, seeing that trailer in the theater, I was like, this is totally different. The sound, the visuals, yeah.
Better or worse?
Better, way better. Way better.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going anyway, but I got so much excited, so much more excited after seeing it, you know, big. That's what she said.
Yeah.
You can't say your own.
I'm trying to think of anything else at all, like anything that really stood out, good or bad. Trying to think.
I would have enjoyed it if halfway through the movie they'd stopped everything cold and went to a farm.
No!
Or at least maybe if someone like opened up JPEGs, you know, that would be great.
I did appreciate that they explained to some degree the characters who were missing from this film. Pepper Potts, you know, her and Iron Man being on a break. You know, they don't know where Thor is, though. Even though we know, they don't know where the Hulk is, even though we sort of know. We just, you know, in a plane somewhere, a jet plane.
Well, I love how they said, "Do you really think he'd be on our side?"
Yeah.
I mean, and I, you know, no. And the thing I loved about, I was really disappointed that, God, I'm confusing Scarlet Witch and Black Widow. Black Widow, that she was on Captain America's side.
Right.
Especially after seeing her with, you know, Captain America all through Winter Soldier. And I love that she had a semi-change of heart.
Yeah. You mean Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron, yeah.
Yeah.
No. She was with Captain America during all...
She Winter Soldier, too.
Yeah, yes. But you talk about Scarlet.
Yeah, Black Widow's with him.
Black Widow. Yeah, we're mixing up Scarlet Witch and Scarlett Johansson. I think is what the problem is.
I'm telling you.
Yeah,
I just want to call her by her real name. Yeah, so I was happy that Scarlett Johansson's character, you know, that they.
Yeah.
Because going into it, you see them all lined up on their sides and everything. Every time I've seen it, I've been so disappointed for like the last 6 months, and the fact that they worked it in there was great.
Right. And the fact that she essentially, and it's funny because Tony called her out. It's like, you can't help this double agent thing. Because she could have stopped them and she didn't. She instead kept shooting T'Challa, just kept shooting.
She's shooting the black man.
There it is.
Cat lives matter.
Oh, Lord. The next one is Doctor Strange. And after that is Avengers Part One. Next year?
Infinity and Gauntlet? The Infinity War?
Well, they're breaking it up at least. Well, they're not breaking it up, but they're changing the title so it's not part one and part two, which
right.
will be nice.
Yeah.
Yep. Anything else at all? Like, any final thoughts? Like, Theater reports. How was your theater? What was the theater like?
Mine wasn't packed. It was only maybe about 75% full. I was surprised. Since That's it was terrible. The second 3D showing. I mean, the second 2D showing.
Mine was packed.
Yeah, mine was packed, and it was like 11 o'clock at night in 3D.
Like, I got there 45 minutes early for no reason. I mean, granted, I got the exact seats I wanted in the exact spot in the exact center, but, you know.
Yeah. I got reserves. I got the reserved seats.
I'm about to say, y'all ain't got reserved seating out there? That's how they do it in the land?
I have to go like 45 minutes to the west side where the white people are, and I don't want to do that.
It was strange, but at where I went, like they don't have like reserved seating in all the theaters, but for this movie they did.
Oh, so you went to the VIP room?
I didn't go to the VIP. They had it in the non VIP areas too for reservations.
Okay.
So for Captain America, basically, so if you want to see Captain America, you need to reserve a seat.
Damn, fancy. Yeah, like so when I saw Green Room, it was in the VIP room of the Atlantic Station. It was like drinks and shit. And I say, oh yes, I'll have a double, thank you. Yeah,
but you needed that shit after watching.
Oh, I needed that shit.
Yeah, I didn't make it yet. Should I go? Should I see it?
Is
it
like just a little quick piece? Green Room is some of the most intimate personal violence you will see in a long ass time.
Yep, indeed.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Yeah.
Although if I'm going, to be honest, I'm going to see Patrick Stewart play a neo-Nazi because that sounds great.
Don't go for that.
He's not in much of the movie. Like,
oh, he's not?
Yeah.
He's there. He's a character, but that's not what you're going to go for.
Right.
Go for the dogs.
Oh, Lord, them damn dogs.
What is this like? Machetes. Is that like a Game of Thrones, you know? Let me in the channel.
This ain't going to be nothing like no Thrones, bro. This is on some personal shit. Very different. Think like Private Ryan. When money got the bayonet to the chest, and dude just gave him the Think a whole movie of that.
Okay.
All right. If we had to give this movie to wrap up a letter grade, what would it be? I would say A minus.
A plus. The hell are you talking about, man?
Why an A minus, Brandon? What would have made it a plus for you if it was longer?
I would have taken 4 hours, yes. If Gone with the Wind could be 4 hours, this could have been 4 hours too.
so it was like
I'm sure the Blu-ray gonna be 3:30 and 3:15.
All right, but what about you guys for as far as besides me and Wisdom for letter grades?
A plus.
Oh, I'll do A plus and I'll give the hair a C.
I give it A.
Okay. You took the plus off because of that wig, didn't you?
Wigs matter.
Wigs matter.
Okay. It's still not Ant-Man bad, though. That's just the worst. I mean, I don't even look at hairstyles, but Ant-Man is Evangeline Lilly. It's just, it bothers me like a year plus later.
I don't think that was a wig, dude.
Dude, her hair is just bad, man.
I really, I think the bangs, I think that was a haircut. I don't think that was a wig.
Oof.
sorry to shit on that cupcake for you, but I think that was actually a hairstyle.
We need to look into it because, dude, she didn't even look that bad in The Hobbit.
All right. While we do that, you guys, if you guys want to tell us what you thought of the movie, you can tweet us at SSN Podcast on Twitter. You can comment on our Facebook, which is facebook.com/SSN Podcast. Or you can visit the website, which is ssnpodcast.com. Let us know if you liked the movie as much as we did. If you didn't like it, we'd love to understand why. And please be give a good explanation because I don't believe you otherwise.
You can even leave us a voicemail, I believe.
Yes. You can leave us a voicemail at the number that I will pull up for you right now because it is not actually up on my screen. I don't know why that is not. The number to leave a voicemail is 404-954-0349. That is 404-954-0349. Anybody have any closing thoughts before we go?
Marvel knows how to do their shit well.
Indeed.
Captain America should have said fuck it and just done like in this superheroes version of Atlas Shrugged where everyone just leaves and the world goes to shit.
No. Warner Brothers is somewhere. This will be a very angry meeting at the Warner Brothers studio in Burbank Monday morning.
All the executives loved Batman versus Superman, so I don't know what they'd be upset about.
Brandon said something earlier about Zack Snyder being on a Suicide Watch.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he really is the Steven Spielberg of bad movies.
Yeah. Man.
Give all the characters back. Give them all back.
I mean, could you imagine what they do with the Fantastic Four?
I just watched that piece of shit tonight, and I was like, holy shit, this is bad.
You really watched that thing? Oh, my God.
Yeah, last 45 minutes, and need all 45 back in my life.
Yeah.
Damn. What if one day Marvel, I mean, it's a long shot, but what if one day Marvel actually did get the rights back to the Fantastic Four?
Man, that would be so awesome.
That'd be so awesome.
The Silver Surfer back. Oh.
Silver Surfer and Galactus, yeah. I want to see that right.
Yep.
Needs to be done. Like right now, the best versions we have are like the cartoon versions from the 90s and the old 1967 Hanna-Barbera version of the Silver Surfer.
And I just want to see a version of X-Men with good casting. That's the other thing.
Oh, that trailer, they played that shit in our theater too.
Yeah, it was bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know about that movie, man. I really don't know.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll keep an eye on it. But yeah, that's been our show. Thanks you guys for listening. We will also be back again this week with our regular news show. But until then, this has been Brandon.
This is John.
This is Ken.
And The Wiz.
Oh, and your boy Dave. All right, and we'll see you guys next time.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. If he's led to a fight and a duel is due, then the red and the white and the blue will come through when Captain America throws his mighty shield.